Plague tablets. Can you give us an account of the kings who reigned in Babylon? That's now after the death of Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, they say. And of course, they also refer to 586 BC concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, can you remember who was the first king after the death of Nebuchadnezzar that reigned Babylon? Evil-Merodach. In Babylonian vernacular, he was called Amel-Marduk. Now, Marduk. Evil-Merodach was murdered after a reign of only 2 years. Who did this evil deed and then succeeded him? Let us go back to the destruction of Jerusalem, 586, and find the name of the culprit. In the 9th year of Zedekiah, this is an important chapter, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. The siege, of course, began on January 15, 588 BC. How long did it last? A Babylonian king list was discovered here at Uruk, the biblical Erech. Berossus writes that Evil-Merodach was succeeded by his brother-in-law, Nergal-Sharezer, also known as Nergal-Lisar, who murdered him. Sad, you know, one brother killing another brother. We can go down so low in life. May God help us to be examples. Both Babylonian sources and the Bible refers to him. And you know, these discoveries help us to relook the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon in order to understand the end time, antitypical Babylon. These are very, very important data. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the city was penetrated. After a siege of 30 months, year and a half, the city was conquered on July the 18th in 586. No more left to be eaten by hungry mothers and fathers. Food was gone. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer of Samgar, he's going to be the next king. Nebu-Sarsekim, this is also a tremendous important name, a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, a high official, and all the other officials of the king of Babylon. Nergal-Sharezer, the god Nergal protects the king. I also discovered a gate at the ancient Nineveh called the Nergal Gate. He was the god of death and plagues. Funny. Nergal-Sharezer, the god Nergal protects the king, that's the winning, was also a son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. He later became the 4th ruler of the new Babylonian kingdom. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer of Samgar, Nebu-Sarsekim, a chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, a high official, and all the other officials of the king of Babylon. Who was Nebu-Sarsekim? Will archaeology confirm such an insignificant name? Nebu-Sarsekim, mentioned in the Bible only once. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. This is interesting. Gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him. Please look after him. And do him no harm, please. He is very precious. But do to him just as he says to you. You know, when I read this, my imagination ran wild. I'm sure Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar about Jeremiah. And your majesty, please save his life. He is loyal to Babylon. He wanted to save the city. So there was a dialogue. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar also had contact with Ezekiel. 1, 2, 3 prophets. Daniel? Or did the secret police help Nebuchadnezzar to locate him and look after him? We don't know. Does God know your name? Yes. Where is it inscribed? In the palm of his hands. The nails rooted there. You are precious to him. Does he know the number of your hair? Yes. It's an interesting book we find in the Bible. There's a book where you were born, how many times you moved along, how many tears you shed. God knows everything about you. Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar treat Jeremiah? Here's the clay tablet. I was so excited when I saw this in the British Museum. Nabu-sharusu. Ukin, that's the Babylonian name. Nebu-sarsakim, the Bible name. Same. So how did Nebuchadnezzar treat Jeremiah? The name Nergal-sharezer was found in the ruins of a palace next to you, to the Euphrates, to your left, referring to him as the builder of the specific palace. You know, I like information that adds to the biblical picture. This was after he murdered his brother-in-law, King Evil-Merodach. What does the Bible tell us about Nergal-Sharezer? So Nebu-Saradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebu-Shashban, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmach, and all the king of Babylon's chief officers, sent and had Jeremiah taken out of the courtyard of the guard. They turned him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him back to his home. He remained among his own people. What happened here? The future king of Babylon met God's prophet. So him and Jeremiah had contact. You know, this to me is amazing. I would love to know what they discussed. Jeremiah, you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar said, I must look after you. Oh, I wished he listened to the words of the prophet or even read his book of Jeremiah. The stones of the city of David cries out that the Bible is authentic. Now, who would be the next king after the death of Nergal-Sharezer? Remember, he murdered his brother. He was king. And who would be the following king, the next king? Next king, Labashi-Marduk. His name means, O Marduk, may I never be ashamed. Shame. His prayer was never answered. He died in shame. He was the son of Nergal-Sarezer, and his wife was the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. After a reign of only 9 months, he was murdered by Nabonidus and his son Belshazzar. Sad story. Let's go in search of evidences of the existence of Nabonidus. This was quite a difficult task. In the new museum at Sanliurfa at Turkey, I made an interesting discovery. I was so excited. You're looking at the sketch of the Fertile Crescent. Sanliurfa lies between Haran and Carchemish, where Nebuchadnezzar conquered Egypt and its coalition. So this is a very important site. Sorry, but we have to bypass some of the exhibitions coming from Göbekli Tepe to get to the stele of Nabonidus. There you've got them. Man, I was so excited when I took a picture here. It means praise to Nabu. He reigned for 17 years in Babylon until its fall in 539. Now, we are not certain why he spent 10 years of the 17 years in Timnah in the Arabian desert. Which god is closest to Nabonidus in this picture? Look there. It's the moon. The Sumerians called the moon Nana. The Babylonians called him Sin. Who are the others? Man, they love to have many gods. There are more than one display of Nabonidus in archaeological museum, like the Istanbul. I found quite a few of his exhibitions here. You are looking at the tremendous cylinder, two cylinders here. Let's read the caption below. It says, terracotta cylinder describing the work on the temple of the moon god Sin. Now, excuse me, but they made a little mistake here. At Ur, the moon god was called Nana. So I just want to correct the archaeologists of the British Museum. I'm reading it again. Terracotta cylinder describing work on the temple of the moon god. It should be Nana, not Sin, at Ur, by Nabonidus, and including a prayer for the king himself and his son Belshazzar. This is such an important discovery because they were denied. The Bible is wrong. There's no such people as Nabonidus and Belshazzar, so-called son of him. Scholars rejected what the Bible said. But what a victory when biblical scholars made this discovery. You know, there are some difficulties in the Bible that I don't always understand. But just wait a while. The archaeologist will confirm what the Bible writes. Here you've got the evidence. The stones cry out, the Bible is true. There was a Nabonidus, there was an Artaxerxes, there was a Belshazzar. These people existed. They were not mythical characters. When I visited Ur, where the discovery was made, I thank God for archaeology that confirms the Bible. It was discovered here. It is not a book of myths. It is the living word of God, my friend. Please spend more time with this marvelous book of love, written especially for you and me. We're on our way to eternity, and we've got to contact the manual constantly. Do you have biblical references concerning the existence of Nabonidus? Yes, but his name is not actually called. We'll come to that in a minute. You know, this would be a tremendous breakthrough if we get this name. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles. Of course, the wives came along. And just imagine 1,000 waiters around there. And they drank wine with them. What? Can we believe this? While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple, which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines, can you imagine how many women were in this hall? Concubines. How many did Solomon possess? That they might drink from them holy vessels in the hands of an holy people with alcohol in it, and they drink and they praise their gods and they despise the God of Daniel. You know, there are limits in life. Don't cross those limits. Then they brought the gold vessels, that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, while they were intoxicated, the fingers of a man's hand, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand, the menorah, on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. His reaction? Then the king's countenance changed. Wow. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. He had a nervous breakdown here, because God was entering into his space and he felt guilty. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck." What does that mean? This is royalty. "And shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Gentlemen, if you please explain this writing, you'll be the third king in the Babylonian kingdom. Question: if Daniel would be the third and Belshazzar the second, who would be the first king? Because he mentions three here. No one else but Nabonidus. His name is not mentioned, but his existence we read in the Bible. "Now all the king's wise men came." Can you see them coming in there, receiving great salaries? "But they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation." "Your Majesty..." Sorry. "Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled." By the way, these gentlemen were not up to anything. "Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed and his lords were astonished. Would there be someone to solve the mysterious writing on the wall?" Queen Amytis, she's also called Amaya, had an apartment close to the banquet hall. My recent visit, the guide showed us where the different people stayed, the queen and the staff and Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to what she did when she heard what was happening during the feast. She could hear, maybe the old lady went to the banquet hall. Her room was not far away. And she listened, and this is what she said. "The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall." She could hear what was going on. "The queen spoke, saying, 'O king, live forever.'" His "live forever" was just about 3 or 4 hours. "Live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Did she convert to monotheism, to the God of Daniel? And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. She saw the conversion of her husband Nebuchadnezzar. It must have impacted on her. In heaven, we'll get answers to all our questions." What a testimony of a Babylonian queen saying, "This is a man of God. Call him." "And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, Your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. You know what, Belshazzar? He had high positions in the past. Please call him. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Daniel kicked out the T-E there. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. She knew Daniel was a man of God. She knew that he would give the interpretation. What bona fide do we have? God wants Daniels in these last days. Then Daniel was brought in before the king, just a few yards away from the banquet hall. Maybe he was praying. But Daniel, please, the king wants to see you. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah?" I don't think this was nice of him. Daniel, you were a high-profile man in the kingdom. This was not good language. "Whom my father the king brought from Judah, one of the exiles." You know, Daniel could have said, "Sorry, bye-bye, going to bed." He was different. He was different. I think I would have turned down. Go back. "I've heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you." This sounds a little better. "Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read the writing and make known to me its interpretation. They could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I've heard of you." And he talked like a drunk man. Can you imagine how he talked? Daniel looked at this drunkard before him. He just listened. "And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you, Daniel, shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." So, Daniel, I'll make you the king. But not the first one. My father is the first, I'm the second, and you will be the third. What an offer of kingship. How do you think Daniel handled the situation to become a king of mighty Babylon? Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation." The mother queen was correct. Daniel was going to give him the interpretation. Maybe he said, "Thank you, Mom." "O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." This is interesting. Where did he get it from? From God. "And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whoever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and King, your majesty, you know about this. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. Can you remember this, Belshazzar? Till he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. Daniel knew it, the king knew it, and maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to him, become like your father, become like your father, humble and acknowledge God. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You committed sin against the Holy Spirit. They've brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. Look at this. What's happening here, Belshazzar? And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Shame on you, king. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him. God is here, your majesty. He is writing this. And this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Do you notice a repetition in this verse? Mene, mene. And this is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. What about the other mene? It's exactly the same. Talking about Nabonidus. Tekel, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Daniel became the third ruler, the third king in the empire. For a few minutes, he was a king. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. What a sad account. And Darius the Mede, this is important, Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. My friend, what a tragic story of someone who knew it was right. He chose the lust of sin that lasts only for a season. If you're involved in sin, ask God to deliver you. This text is very clear that Darius the Mede was the first ruler, not Cyrus. And we'll come to that. Which two new kings replaced the previous two Babylonian kings? It was Nabonidus and Belshazzar, replaced by Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian. A Mede and a Persian. The critics of the book of Daniel has a problem with the following verse. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius the Mede and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius the Mede was the first to rule over the Medo-Persian Empire. And only after him did Cyrus took over the reins. Let's go back to the statement made by Belshazzar concerning the rulers of Babylon. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck, and you shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. He mentions the names of two rulers, but not the third one. He names Daniel and himself, but not the third one. Who could it be? Can archaeology confirm his existence and his name? The decoding of the words on the wall is so important to him that the king is willing to make Daniel a third ruler. Listen to what happened after Daniel read the message of the mysterious words. We've read it before, let's read it again. Then Belshazzar gave the command. I'm glad he kept his word. And they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made him a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. For how long was Daniel to rule as one of the three rulers in Babylon? Listen again to the warning of the words against the wall. And this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, plural, tikel upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Why is mene mentioned twice? Because history tells us that there were two rulers, Nabonidus and his son Belshazzar. Two rulers. And we read it in the inscription. In the words, the glowing letters on that plastered wall. What an accurate account of the history of the Babylonian kings. For many centuries, only the Bible mentioned two rulers of Babylon. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. What do you notice here? Belshazzar, king of Babylon, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. You know, if only he read this dream. Critics denied the existence of Belshazzar and said that Nabonidus was the last Babylonian king. Initially, they denied the existence of Belshazzar as well. But when his details were discovered, they denied the fact that he was a king. Why did they deny the fact that Daniel calls him a king? In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me in the first time. Now, according to ancient Babylonian culture law, a regent, a co-ruler, or crown prince was never called king. So they said, listen, Daniel is missing the point here. He was just a co-ruler, not a king. But the Bible is never embarrassed. Daniel writes from a Judean perspective where co-rulers were called kings. When David made Solomon a co-ruler, he was called king. So Daniel writes from a Judean perspective. And I like this. With the threat of a Medo-Persian invasion, Nabonidus left Timah, where he spent quite a few years, hastened home to confront the enemy. But he was defeated at two places, Opus and Zippar, two very important sites in Babylon that stage. With this defeat in mind, Belshazzar was not sure if his father would be killed in battle. And guess what he did? During the great feast on October 12, 539, he proclaimed himself king of Babylon. This also explains the reason for having this great feast. Now, feasts of this magnitude was never celebrated without specific reasons. The Bible doesn't say it, but archaeology confirms the authenticity of the Bible. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Nabonidus is not mentioned, but he was the third. Actually, he was the first, then came his son, and then Daniel. The banquet hall where Belshazzar and Belteshazzar, Daniel, faced one another. What a moment. You know, when I visit these sites, I visualize what happened here. Belshazzar means, of course, Bel protects my kingship. Now, what is the meaning of the word Daniel? It means God is my judge. What happened to Belshazzar and Daniel who met here for the first time and the last time? What happened when the enemy rushed into the banquet hall? Bel-Marduk did not save the life of his drunken worshipper, Belshazzar. He rejected the Almighty God who could have saved him, but he died the death of a lost sinner. What does the name Daniel mean? God is my judge. I like this name. If people judge you, remember, Daniel says, God is my judge. Doesn't matter what you say, but he's my judge. Did Daniel's judge, God, reveal him and the kings of Babylon what the future would be? Yes. In chapters 2 and 7, God revealed to Daniel what would happen to Babylon. And the world of antiquity saw the fulfillment of the prophecy of the night of October 12, 539. Will the events of the night of October 12, 539 be repeated? Yes. Daniel is an eschatological book pointing to the end of time. It's also a book with types. So you have to read more into the story. And when you come to this series, which I did on Revelation, you will see the connection between the two books. Listen to this serious statement. A storm is coming. Do you realize this? Relentless in its fury. You know, I get so depressed when I listen to the news. It's bad news. It's getting worse. Are we prepared to meet that storm, my friend? We need not say the perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. Already they have come. Already they have come. They are here. We need now the sword of the Lord to cut to the very soul and marrow of fleshly lusts, appetites and passions. God, please clean me. Change me. Sanctify me. You're looking at an artist's impression of the armies of Darius and Cyrus invading Babylon. What a serious moment in history. Of who is Cyrus the greater type? Of Jesus. Will Jesus come and rescue us from this Babylonian of sin in which we find ourselves? Does the book of Revelation mention the fall of end-time spiritual Babylon? Of who do you think is Daniel a type? We are the antitypical Daniels. What kind of person should you be? And what kind of person should I be? Life is serious business. Daniel was a devoted servant of the Most High. His long life was filled with noble deeds and service for his master. His purity of character and unwavering fidelity are equaled only by his humility of heart and his contrition before God. The life of Daniel is an inspired illustration of true sanctification. God wants you and me to be end-time Daniels. The character of Daniel is presented to the world as a striking example of what God's grace can make of men, fallen by nature and corrupted by sin. The record of his noble, self-denying life is an encouragement to our common humanity. From it, we may gather strength to resist temptation, and firmly, in the grace of meekness, stand for the right under the severest trial. Father in heaven, help us to be a Daniel, pure, overcoming the lusts of our fallen nature. And let us allow you to use us to help others who need you. In Jesus' name, amen.